Good morning.
Good morning.
I just heard Michael say, and after that it was all downhill. And I hope he's thinking about the nation of Judah and not the assembly of the saints here today. there are some good things, guys, that we get from public reading. And, you know, Hezekiah, a very righteous king. I mean, he's a great man to look to and learn from. There's a couple things that are bothersome to me here. A couple lessons we need to learn. One is, you don't show your enemies everything you got. Jesus didn't. Hezekiah made a mistake here, didn't he? He was being a little bit, I think, proud of what he had. And really, he ended up showing what the Lord had to the enemies of God. It caused problems for the future. And as great as Hezekiah was, as great of a king as he was, there was one weakness that he had, and verse 19 brought it out. The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good, for he thought, is it not so, if there shall be peace and truth in my days? He wasn't concerned enough about the future generations. And his son, as great of a king as Hezekiah was, his son Manasseh was one of the worst kings. Now Manasseh seems like he turned it at the end and repented. But he was one of the worst kings for the nation of Judah ever. And so, brethren, we have a responsibility in doing right to also consider not only the time in which we live, not only where we're here, but to leave a scriptural legacy that will continue to stand, to raise up faithful men and women, to continue as a congregation to have sound doctrine, the emphasis of that, so that in the future, no matter what comes, that this congregation will be a faithful congregation to the Lord. And so that's something that we all need to be participants in and make a decision that not only in our days, but we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do so that the generations to come might also know the Lord. You guys turn with me this morning to Luke chapter 16. I'm taking one week off of Romans. Lord willing, I'll be back into Romans chapter 9. I just wanted to preach some things I wanted to preach today. And I see Josh Goles laughing at me up here, but sometimes you just got something you want to preach, and Romans is a long book. So I've entitled this Luke Shotgun, so I figured we should at least start from the book of Luke, but it's really not... It's not Luke the inspired shotgun, it's my shotgun this morning. So, a few things, as long as I'm going to be on the shotgun, I want to say just a couple things I've thought about for months and I keep forgetting to mention. Brethren, we want to be careful. I just think about, you know, Alan Calloway, and, you know, there's lessons for all of us in that. And what happened there at the Peaks, and, you know, the reality of it is that, you know, individually and collectively, we weren't keeping a close enough eye. And, you know, I just think about our parking lot out here. We got a lot of little kids and we got a lot of cars in that parking lot. And individually, you know, as parents, we want to watch our kids, and collectively, we want to keep our eyes out. And so, you know, it would be pretty tragic, and it's a possibility. So I just encourage us as parents, let's keep an eye on that and help each other in that too. Something else, this intersection out here is very, it's a scary intersection. And sometimes you see that blinking light and you think it's a four-way stop or something. Your brain misreads it. And I've seen some close calls from our brethren. And, you know, we got a lot of young drivers and some of us older drivers. So that's a full stop for us. Everybody's going, the speed limit's 45 and most people are driving 55 coming through there. So stop, make sure there's time, then, you know, follow the rules. You know the rules of the road if you're driving. But just be cautious, guys, because it's a dangerous intersection out there. Also, for some good news before we get the shotgun, Mike Ferguson, talked to him recently, and he just wanted to say hello and give encouragement from his family and from our congregation there in Williston, and just tell us that our congregation is encouragement to him, and it's encouraging to him to know that the same experiences of suffering are being encountered by the brethren throughout the world. And so Mike wanted me to say hi to you guys this morning. Luke chapter 16. Guys, I'm going to just read verse 10. Let's read verse 10. Luke 16, 10. Jesus says, He was faithful in a very little thing. He's faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your righteousness. Lord, as big as we want to look, we see not only your power and your might, but we see your goodness. And as small as we want to go, whatever the detail is, Lord, we see your consistency. We see that with you there is no variation or shifting shadow. Father, you are the perfect example of righteousness to us in both the small and the big. Lord, I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly and, Lord, in a loving manner, but also with courage to speak your truth, things that we need to consider. And Father, I pray that all of us who are listening, including me, that we would take whatever things we need to work on. Maybe we're doing great in all these things, Lord, and that's, if so, I just pray that we would excel still more. But that we would really consider what it means to be great for you, and that we would be faithful in the little things. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, one thing you remember while Jesus was on earth is he was actually the last night. He's talking to his apostles, and specifically, he tells them, he says, you guys are going to do the works that I do. You're going to do these works. And even greater works than I do, you're going to do because I go to the Father. I like what Will said this morning. Just a reminder, hopefully every one of us, when we're in the Word and we're searching the Scriptures and we get a picture of what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, ultimately we get a picture of Jesus. And we say, I want to be like that. Jesus didn't hide, guys, under... Jesus was the most humble guy there ever was. But Jesus didn't shy away from greatness. He knew his purpose that God had for him. I appreciated that thought. Peter wasn't afraid of being great for the Lord. Did he make some mistakes? Yes, he did. And we're not talking about that today. But Peter was willing to go for it. And I hope that all of us, when we read these things, we consider and we think about those words that Jesus says. He wants us to do greater works than he did. That begs the question for me, how's that possible? What's that look like? What's that mean? Well, I think there's a couple, he says, because I go to the Father. I think there's a few things there that are possibilities and probably factors in this. One is Jesus only had his earthly ministry for 3.5 years. And don't get me wrong, he was preparing up to the age of 30. That wasn't time wasted. And Jesus wasn't just, sitting on the couch watching TV or whatever they had in their day during that time. But Jesus died at a young age. 3.5 years of ministry. Secondly, in that context, Jesus talks about he's sending the Holy Spirit back as our helper. And then thirdly is that when Jesus was here on earth, he could only be one place at one time. Brother, he's living in each one of us. The force, the power of who we are as the Lord's church together. What we can do and what God expects us to do is great. I like to think great. I like to think big. I know sometimes I still don't think big enough, but from the time I was a little guy, man, my imagination was going to run wild. It was running wild on like big things, great things. And I think God builds that into us. He wants us to do that. The world has a way of sucking that out of you. But today, I just want you to notice, Jesus wants us to do great. He expects us to do great. But his explanation here from Luke chapter 16 is very important. We're going to do great things. Those great things are going to happen by us being faithful in the little things. So, honestly, I think, what are those great things? You know, Steve Doty has said before, he's like, what are you doing now that you weren't doing before you were a Christian? What are you doing now that you need the help of the Holy Spirit for? You know, he always mentions, you know, you help an old lady across the street. That's great, and that is a good thing to do. Okay? Especially on these roads and these parking lots. Okay? That's a good thing to do. But you could do that without the help of the Holy Spirit, couldn't you? But Brian, what I want to talk about today with my little shotgun is I want to talk about some details, just in some seemingly little things that we are swimming upstream against the current of this world. That in our world, these little things end up being extraordinary. And they're things that God wants us to do. And we can't fall prey to the idea that the things that the world does or doesn't do is normal. We want to be faithful in the little things. And so there's a bunch of stuff today that I want to talk about, little things that show the character of Christ. And I want to approach this today to men, women, and children. Hopefully there's something for all of us in here. You know, and when I say this, brethren, I want you to understand, if I step on your toes, somebody said this recently, I step on your toes, I'm sorry I missed, I was shooting for your heart. That's probably true, but I just think about stepping on toes today. I'm stepping on my own toes a little today in a couple spots. Okay? If the shoe fits, I want to wear it. And I hope that's the way you approach it. I mentioned last time, I said, I warned the ladies, I'm going to preach at you. That isn't quite the right terminology. That's what I mean by that is I'm not here to try to blast any particular person from up front. I'm going to hit a lot of stuff. And there's might be stuff that hits you. And I don't want you to think, man, Luke is out to get me. I want you to think about what Jesus says. Let's be faithful in the little things. And there's some places, brother, that individually and collectively, we need to turn it up. We need to be like Christ. That's His desire. And I'm under the assumption today, while I'm preaching, that every one of us here wants to grow up to be like Christ. And so we're talking about this stuff. This was a scriptural pattern, and here's what we want to do to be like Him. Excel still more. So I want to go 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I started putting this together, and there was no way I could even close to get through all the shotgun blasts that I want to. But I'm going to rapid fire it here. We're going to hit quite a few things today. It's going to be a lot different than my normal messages, so you can flip quickly. And let's just run through some stuff here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. But I just want to quickly talk about act like men, be strong. We have a breakdown of our society. You know, thinking about all the politics and making America great again, and you know, the reality of it is, brethren, America's never going to be great again without getting back to biblical families. It's just impossible. So if we can, you know, hey, a part of making America great again is bringing those issues back to the forefront. But if those things aren't implemented, America won't be great. Hey, let's think about this, the church. And I am not here today to bring up anybody's past, or past mistakes. We are here, whatever we've done in the past, Jesus took us where we were. Okay? And we know what Mike was talking about. This is where we have come to. Okay? So, you made mistakes in your past. A lot of us have broken families and we were in the middle of that and we were a part of the problem and all that. Hey, Christ has rescued us from that. But moving forward, what does this look like? What does God want from me as a man? What does God want from me as a dad? What does God want? What does He desire? What's it like to be a real Christian in this world? You know, Norma's dad, Frank, one of the things I always remember about him, he says, as the family goes, so goes the church. You cannot have a strong local congregation and you cannot have a strong worldwide church without biblical families, without us being committed in our core unit that God's given each of us responsibility within to do it right. We can't talk about being good team members of the Lord's church if we aren't willing to be to lead our own little team the Lord's given us and our family. So act like men. Be strong. The world's trying to destroy men. Jesus is building men. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You know, the reality of it is, many of us didn't have dads. We didn't have good dads. Some of us didn't have dads at all. And so we got to come back, and the Lord is now our dad. There are things that in a, maybe if we would have had a different background, we would have learned when we were 5, 6, 7 years old. Now the Lord has to teach us at 26 or 36 or 46, as the case may be. But we got to learn these things. This is what the Lord expects. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'm just going to read verse 10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Guys, men are supposed to be workers. God made us to work. We can look and we can think about the curse, but prior to the curse, there was still work done in the garden, guys. Work itself is not a curse. There's some challenges that come with it that are part of the curse. But God made us to be hard workers. You can't be a real man without learning how to work and work hard. You aren't going to be able to be a spiritual warrior unless you've learned how to work and work hard. So young men, I just want to encourage you. You work hard. You set some goals. You position yourself for the future. If you're going to college, go to college and work. Put yourself through college. Good for you. Work 2 or 3 jobs. You're not going to college, work 2 or 3 jobs. What else are you going to do with your life? You're a young guy. You work 40 hours a week. What else are you going to do with all those hours? Go work. Prepare yourself for the future. Set some things up. God made us to work and work hard. I think you talk to any number of older men in this congregation, responsible men, and they will tell you very similar stories. I know mine. But I know, you know, I've talked to guys like Kevin. I know Kevin's a little bit. I know you, a number of men. I know your story, and they're very similar. When you're young, you work hard. When you get married, you work hard. You tighten that belt up a notch or 2 or 3, and you get by on what you got to get by on, and you're setting things up for the future. But you will never, ever, young men, you will never be a good husband and a good dad if you don't learn how to work. Just that simple. Can't do it. You cannot fulfill what God wants you to without being a hard worker. I'm not going to tell my story. You guys hear my illustrations enough. Talk to some of these other men that you look up to, and you talk to them about what their early days were like. You're going from sunup to sundown and beyond. That's the way it should be. Men, if you're married, work hard, but be a husband. Being a man doesn't mean you get done with your work week and you come in and you pop yourself up, you pop the lazy boy out, and you ask him to bring you a beer. Oh, good, you're a Christian, you don't drink beer. Bring you your soda, whatever, and sit there and turn on the game, and that's all you do. I've done my work. Be a husband. Love your wife. Talk with her. You know, sometimes a common thing I hear from men, I just don't understand my wife. I'm a guy, I get it. Hey. But you know, the scripture doesn't give you that out, does it? Josh mentioned it in his message from 1 Peter. The exhortation to men, to husbands, is live with your wives in an understanding way. What's that mean? It means if you're a good husband, you learn to understand your wife. That's part of being a man, part of being a good husband. Think about your... I was actually super encouraged. Josh, I told him, man, to hear him say, you know, he even mentioned the word feelings in reference to his, what, you know, what's your wife feel? We understand, guys, feelings aren't absolute truth, but feelings are real. And a good husband, you're going to do that. You're going to let your wife talk, and you're going to listen. Talk to your wife and listen to your wife, and you understand what her needs are, what her desires are. How can you lead somebody if you don't know where they're at and what they need to be able to move forward. Be a dad. Train up a child, the scripture says, in the way you should go. Spend time with your kids. You can't train somebody, never spend time with them. You know, I have a couple dogs. I'm not a good dog trainer. I just don't care enough about dogs to spend the kind of time with them that they need. But you know, one thing I realized about dogs for me that works, alpha male voice. Those dogs respond to my voice. Even though I don't spend time with them, I think there's a lot of dads like that. That's the way I'm going to do my alpha male voice, and my kids are going to listen. Yeah, they'll listen to you for a while. That's not being a dad. That's not training up a child in the way they should go. You build relationship with your children. The scripture's full of examples of this, right? I'm just shotgunning this. You read the book of Proverbs. Those are conversations you should have with your sons and the appropriate corresponding conversation with your daughters. Being a dad means you talk to your kids and you listen to them. Lead by example. Be involved in their lives. John the Immerser ends up being a great fulfillment of prophecy from Malachi chapter 4. And one of the things it says of Elijah the prophet, somebody's going to come, right? It says Elijah the prophet. John the Immerser ends up being the fulfillment of that. But one of the things that Scripture says, he's going to restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite this land with a curse. Guys, that's true for spiritual Israel also, isn't it? You read the first letters to the churches, first couple books of Revelation, and first couple chapters of Revelation. You're not going to find, one of the things you're going to see there is some of the things that are allowed ends up having killer consequences for the children. God wants us as dads to have that fellowship with our kids, be able to talk with them and lead them through things to build to that relationship. I'm not talking about all the details from the time they're up. I just want to tell you, men, if you're not spending time with your children, talking to them and listening to them, you are not training them up in the way they should go, and there's no promise that when they get old, they won't depart from it. We're a role model of God the Father in this relationship, aren't we? We need to have that with our children. We want to know what's in their heart, and ultimately we want to share Christ's heart with them. All right, women. 1 Timothy chapter 2. So one of the things when I said, you know, sometimes women, they're just naturally being a guy up here. This is naturally, you know, in the way God designed it, for men to be leaders within the family and within the congregation. But there's a tendency to preach to the guys, and that's good. But it's not, the scripture isn't limited to messages for the guys. Yeah, I even noticed when Josh was preaching through 1 Peter 3, I'm not picking, I was just natural. He was working on the guy. He says, you know, your wife. Well, that's true if you're a guy. If you're a woman, it's your husband, right? It's your spouse. So we sometimes put these in terms of being a male. The scripture has a lot to say for women too, and I want to hit a few of those things today. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as befits women making a claim to godliness. No, this message today is not about modesty in dress. Okay? I want to key in on verse 10, means of good works. Okay? A woman clothes herself by means of good works. There's that word work again, isn't there? You know, Josh had mentioned it. Thankfully, I don't need to go back and cover it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 talks about a good Christian woman. He says, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable qualities of a gentle and quiet spirit. There's, you know, just as I said, the men, that society is trying to destroy men. Society has really done an excellent job destroying what a real woman looks like. in all the talks of liberation and all of that, and there's more money than ever spent on makeup and all the externals. And really, what I've seen the consequences of that has been is women trying to be husband, wife, mom, dad, everything. And then they fail in the actual God-given responsibilities that they have. God knows what He's doing. So, you know, I just want to say there's a couple things I understand here. I commend single moms because you have to do all of those things. And I appreciate the work that you put in. I understand, you know, we have a few different adoptive parents in this congregation. Man, that's some extra, huge, tremendous challenges that come with that. I commend you. But, so, like I say, whatever parts of this fit you and you need to work on, I want you to take it on. So, you know, God's plan, guys, is one man, one woman, one time in marriage. I mean, till death do you part. That's His plan. Like I said, some of us, we haven't done that. But whatever situation we find ourselves in, I do want to clarify. The Lord takes us wherever we are and now moving forwards. But God also has a big plan that we have to continue to preach and help the next generation avoid some of the mistakes that were made in ours. And God's plan is one man, one woman, one time, okay? So, God's interested in building true women. So, a couple things. You know, as a lady, again, good works. Work hard. You know, some, without veering back too much into the men's section, hey, there are a lot of young ladies. There's no good guys around. I mean, there's a gap. There's a huge void. It's tough. Where do you find somebody that's a man? Now it's popular in our world. Guys don't even think about growing up till they're 30. Okay, now it's time. That's not the way God designed it, but that's the way it is. So what's a good woman supposed to do? Hey, don't sit there, you know, twiddling your thumbs and waiting, you know, hoping to find some knight in shining armor, you know, come up to you on his white horse and rescue you from the doldrums of life. That's not the way this thing works. Like, you need to have a plan. You need to find a way that you're serving God. You know, we have some really great examples of ladies here who've gone on to college and have, you know, done nursing or other things like that where they have a plan. They're doing something productive. Okay? Working hard, making money, setting their things for the future, and also keeping good habits, and then volunteering for the Lord in His work, in the church, and those kinds of things, the Christian school, that kind of stuff. Do productive stuff. Be a hard worker. If you're married, you know, be a good wife. Support and respect your husband. That's not a popular thing. Just as a woman needs love, man needs respect. Be supportive. Be respectful to your husband. I'm not going into what all that is today. But it's very foundational. You want to be a good wife. You can even ask your husband. And listen to him. What are some things that communicate respect to you? He might tell you, unless you say, oh no, you don't need... Unless he's expecting you to come back disrespectfully, then he might not tell you the truth. But have that conversation. Go with me to Titus chapter 2. Mr. Schaefer recently been preaching through Titus. In Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what's good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, the word of God may not be dishonored. I do find it interesting, there's a few particular times that the scripture warns women about gossip. It's just one of those natural tendencies that, because women are good communicators, and you like to share, that's a particular thing you gotta watch out for. Okay? You don't wanna be a gossip. But I wanna key in here on older women teaching the younger women to be workers at home. One of my themes, in case you can't figure this out today, is work. You read about the Proverbs 31 woman, she's a hard worker. She works in the home, and she works for her family, and she even does some work out of the home, doesn't she? Doesn't mean you have to. But this lady's character, she is a worker. By the way, guys, Proverbs 31, that's a great thing as a wife, as a woman, to set that goal and want to be like that. But that's a beautiful representation of the church, isn't it? Ultimately, because we're the bride of Christ. So it's applicable for all of us here on this. But you know, if you aren't a mom, work hard. If you're married but you're not a mom yet, work hard. Help your husband. Help the church. Spend time in prayer. Honestly, it makes sense to me. If you're married and you... Hey, I'm not trying to tell you how to run your own family on this. But if you're married and you don't have kids yet, why wouldn't you both be working? It just makes sense to me. Hey, both work. Hey, work hard. Hey, prepare again for that future. If you're mom, raise your children well. Children, in case you haven't noticed, are lots of work. And guys, you get to do this one time. So do it right. I want you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, sometimes the Bible gets a reputation of being anti-woman, male chauvinist. And the reality of it is, people just aren't willing to be honest and recognize that God made us and He wired us a different way. If we're men, He made us primarily, you know, in general terms, a certain way, and women, a certain way, and there's different roles that we have, and it's people fighting against the role that God designed for them. God has a plan. He made us a certain way. If you didn't catch this out of Josh Gold's message, you figure it out. It doesn't matter what you are. We're going to learn, every individual, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to learn to be subject. You're going to learn to submit yourself. Male, female, children. So you can't make it into heaven without that. Guys, that's why Scripture says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. It's something you might notice, a little term that kind of went through my mind that from the Scriptures recently is, you know, the spirit, talking about the evil spirit of Satan, that's now working in the sons of disobedience. People just want to do their own thing. Hey, that's a problem. And so, a lot of people don't like what the Scripture says about God's role of women, but God's way works. He knows, He made you, so don't fight against this. You're a Christian, you've repented, you say God's right. I want to do what God says. And 1 Timothy 2, verse 15, just a summary verse on some of this topic, says, but women should be preserved through the bearing of children, if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Well, I'm convinced one of the primary purposes of a wife and mom is your primary responsibility is that bearing of children, to bring them up in the right way. That is number one on your plate. This is the responsibility that God gives you. You know, so I ask a question. Where are the men? I look around and I say, where are the men? Brad, you gave me some song years ago, some group that sang, and basically they're talking about, where are the dads? They're non-existent. But guys, I gotta be honest. I look around today and I say, where are the women? There's a tendency that comes, there's a thing that comes to my mind that says, this little phrase, man, they just don't make them like they used to. Hey, what? There's something that happened here generationally, and our women, our young women of today, have not learned how to work either, the way that God wants us to. In case you haven't connected the dots yet, television and tablets aren't good parents. I'm not saying that there's never some things you can do as educational or helpful tools. Those things can be tools and a help. But do not let them take the place of your role. Don't be lazy. Don't check out. A lot of parenting gets done by default. Because parents, and I'm going to put this a lot of this responsibility here on moms for a second. Because moms don't do what they're supposed to do. Yes, it's hard. If it wasn't hard, you wouldn't need the help of the Holy Spirit to do it right. Do it right. I'm not a woman. So you can say, well, Luke, you don't know what you're talking. I'm just going to say this. My mom was a hard worker. I've seen a good example. My wife is a hard worker. I've seen a good example. I know it's possible. And particularly, that work of a woman in reference, hard work, in reference to bringing up your children, doing that right. Wives, women, mothers, if you are blessed to be able to stay at home, then work hard at home. There's this thing that I've seen in the church, and this is why I'm bringing it up, where, you know, dads, I've already hit dads. Your job isn't just to work. You come home, you have a relationship with your wife and your kids. But I've seen women, they're staying at home, dad's going off to work, and they're expecting dads to make breakfast. They're expecting dads to cook dinner when they get to home. They come through the door and they say, I've had these kids all day, your turn. Come on. Come on, toughen up. This is the role God's given you to do. Do your part. You have the help of the Holy Spirit. I understand. We all have different abilities, and this is where we are. And it's okay to talk with your husband and be honest about, hey, I'm struggling with this. What do you think we can do? You know, ask for some help in some things. But the expectation of laying around, I'm being a little mean here, but the picture, and having your husband do everything, you're not doing what God called you to do. We need to toughen up. Ladies, get up with your kids at night. I'm going to just talk about Julie for a second. Man, all of our kids, she never expected me. I did sometimes, but the expectation never was that I would go deal with this crying kid in the middle of the night. Some of you know what my schedule was like. She might not get much sleep, but she could catch her cat naps in the day at times. She got up with the kids. I can't nurse them anyways. They were little. Okay? So, you know, be hard workers. Have your children ready to go for Sunday school class. Come on, it doesn't start till 9 a.m. You can do this. Okay? It's important for your kids to be here at Sunday school class. They learn a lot. Some of my greatest memories of church as a kid is Sunday school class and VBS, man. There's some great stuff that I learned. And I loved learning it. Hey, kids like that stuff. Mom, spend time with your children. And teach them to be hard workers at home. Give them chores to do. Expect them to follow through on that. Talk with them. Read with them. Do homework with them. Pray with them. There's scriptural examples of, you know, actually Timothy, right? His mom and his grandma. Paul attributed his faith, Timothy's faith, to their work with them. I know my mom, man. My dad knew his Bible like crazy inside and out. Man, my mom, she read Bible with me, whatever age I was. Man, there was the love of Christ that came with that knowledge. There was the tender mom teaching and talking about stuff and just wanting me, put into me a desire, a tremendous desire the rest of my life to always want to do right and please God. That came from my mom. Moms, you have a really important job to do. You know, when they're tugging at your legs while you're trying to do stuff and you're working, I know that's annoying. I know it's tough to cook dinner. And I know it's, but it's good. Don't get rid of them. You know, temporarily. You know, let them do that with you. They learn. And pretty soon, if you'll do it that way, they'll be cooking. They'll be cleaning. They'll be helping. They'll be participating in that with you. And that's not limited to girls either. Believe in your children, moms. Believe in them. Hey, don't put them down. Hey, don't lie to them. Please don't lie to your kids. Hey, the Lord doesn't need a bunch of delusional people. But believe in them and you tell them who they can be. Don't let them off the hook, but help them see they can accomplish anything. Okay, do I have time to preach on kids today? There's a bunch of other stuff I wanted to hit anyways. We're doing 2 weeks shotgun. Lord willing, the week after that, we'll be back to Romans 9. All right, let's stand.